It's time again for Health Talk on KFAR Radio. 30 minutes of healthy conversation about practical ways to improve your quality of life. Now, from the all-new White Spruce Medical, here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
Good afternoon, Fairbanks. Welcome to Health Talk. My name's Dr. Scott Looper, and I'm your host today as we talk about health, how to get it, and how to keep it. With me today is Haley Brown. Haley is the new clinic director at White Spruce Medical here in Fairbanks. And today we're going to basically take questions. One of the things that I do routinely, I mean basically every day with every patient, is I answer questions from patients about problems that they're having or medications or strategies to how to solve problems. And it's I like it. I like answering questions. It's nice. One of the things that I have a knack for is doing lots of research, reading lots of things. I go through books like crazy, read all kinds of things, and I keep my eyes open to notice what the patterns of life are, what kind of things work, what kind of things don't work. So why don't you and I, Haley, welcome
go
to
back
the show.
And forth.
Yeah, why don't we go back and forth? Let me do the first one because this was the last patient I saw today.
Yeah.
This question is fresh in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll trade back and forth and come up with questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question that came to me was, Dr. Looper, how do I increase my oxygen?
Yeah.
And it seems like a pretty easy question. Yeah, duh, breathe more. But it's
breathe
that's
better.
That's not how to do it. Really, it's harder than you think. This particular patient has a number of problems, including extremely severe sleep apnea that he cannot treat with a CPAP or a BiPAP.
Why not? Why can't he use a CPAP or a BiPAP?
He gets a reaction from them, and he can't sleep at all if he puts them on his face.
Okay.
That's what it is.
So just having that face, anything on your face.
It shuts down his sleeping at all, and his breathing actually becomes worse, not better. And it just really it won't work.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked about quite a few things, stuff you can take and stuff you can do and so on and so forth. But the basic question is, how can I increase my oxygen?
Mm-hmm.
So I want to set the stage on this one so that everybody really gets it about what your oxygen level should be. Because if you get one of those little oxygen meters and it says that your oxygen levels are 92%, you think, hey, 92%, that's pretty good. That's an A minus. I'm doing all right.
But it's
not. It's not. It's not.
The closer to 100, the better you are.
Yeah. If you actually, for real, have a 92% oxygen saturation, you pretty much can't hardly do anything. I mean, you can walk around, not very far.
Your
and
brain's
not fast.
Just not fully at optimum.
Yeah.
Processing. It's not
it
working
doesn't.
Right.
It doesn't think right. And if you, heaven forbid, you have to climb stairs.
Yeah.
Right? Or vacuum.
Or do anything throughout the day and get throughout your day.
Brush your hair vigorously, right?
Yep.
If you do anything that where you have to lift your hands above your head and do something, you're going to be exhausted.
Yep.
And you don't have any reserve. And let's talk about stairs. If you've got a 92% oxygen, you can't really make it to the top of the stairs. You go halfway. You stop and you breathe and you kind of do that inward thing where you breathe and you're trying to get some oxygen and then to finish your way up the stairs.
So forget about exercising at all. You're not going to be able to exercise if you have breathing problems like that.
You can't. It's not possible. You don't have the energy for it. This really came to the forefront with COVID because people who had oxygen problems that they were kind of limping along with, they got COVID. Now they added insult to injury and those people ended up in the hospital. Some of them died.
Those are the ones on ventilators.
Yep, people had problems with circulation, problems with oxygen. Those are the ones that suffered the most from COVID. But they also suffered the most from daily life.
Yeah.
They really do.
They were high risk for stairs.
here's a tip that will help you get your oxygen levels up.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do is a thing called pursed lip breathing. I'll tell you how to do it first, and then I'll tell you why it works. What you do is you take your lips and you push them together as if you were drinking out of a straw.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it. Can you see on the radio? This is me pursing my lips.
We've got the live going. We're
very
good.
Yeah. So, and what you do then is you breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
This is me breathing out through my mouth. Just like that. Yeah. As if I was breathing through a straw.
Yeah.
So imagine, you could get a straw. You could get a real straw, an actual straw, and you put it in your mouth and you breathe in through your nose and you breathe out through the straw, and you were doing pursed lip breathing. Mm-hmm. Now, most people think, really? Through a straw? How is that going to get my oxygen levels up? Because now instead of breathing through my nose or my mouth, you got to be breathing out through this straw. It's limiting me.
Yeah.
It's not going to bring my oxygen levels up. It's harder to breathe. My oxygen levels are going to go down.
Yeah.
Common sense would tell you this. My oxygen levels are going to go down. Oh, contraire.
So how does that work in your
lungs? Get one of those little oxygen meters, put it on your finger, and start doing pursed lip breathing and watch the numbers go up. You don't need to take my word for it. You can try it yourself at home. Seriously. Wow. Okay, now is the explanation. Why does it work? Here's why. Because when you breathe through your pursed lips or your straw, what you're getting is increased back pressure. And what the back pressure does is it causes you to accumulate carbon dioxide in your body. Because as you're breathing out carbon dioxide, right? But you're breathing against pressure. So in order to get the math to work out, you literally have to have more carbon dioxide on this side, the inside part, to get to the outside part. So you're, in other words, your carbon dioxide levels go up. Now, again, how could that possibly help my oxygen? It doesn't make any sense. Carbon dioxide, we're trying to get it out. In with the good air, out with the bad air. Carbon dioxide is the bad air. Oh, again, contraire. Turns out it's necessary for oxygen transfer. In order for the oxygen to let go of the hemoglobin molecule, you know, hemoglobin's that little molecule that grabs a hold of oxygen, takes it out to your cells, lets it go, and then comes back and gets more and goes around for another trip.
Yep.
The lets it go part. How does that oxygen let go? Well, here's how. Carbon dioxide attaches to the hemoglobin and causes the hemoglobin to twist in a way that forces it, maybe it pops
right
the
right
off, word.
Yeah.
It pops right off the hemoglobin and then it goes off into the tissues. So without the carbon dioxide, this pop doesn't happen. And what will happen is the hemoglobin will oxygenate up just fine, and then it goes around, and then it comes back, and it never lets go of the oxygen. And you have an inefficiency to your system. So this kind of screws up the oxygen meter, because the oxygen meter looks like it's running higher, but in fact, it's not. You're not getting the oxygen transfer.
Right.
So in order to get the oxygen to let go, it needs the effect of carbon dioxide.
Yeah.
This is basic physiology. You go to medical school, they teach you in the first year this. But they don't teach you the importance of it. They just say, here's how it works. And you go, all right, here's how it works. But they don't, well, at least for me, when I was in med school, they never taught me pursed lip breathing. They never taught me anything about how to get the whole system to run better. I guess that was later on in the program.
You got the experience. You're just supposed to know and figure it out.
Yeah, so now you all know more than a lot of doctors do about how this thing works. And not to say the doctors don't know about pursed lip breathing. Any doctor worth his salt who especially works with breathing problems, they know this already because it's an easy, straightforward thing to do to get your oxygen levels up. There's more to be said about the subject. There's even trickier ways to get your carbon dioxide levels up. But that's not the answer to the question. The answer to the question, Dr. Looper, how do I get my oxygen levels up? Which really is, how do I get my oxygen transfer up? Because who cares about the oxygen numbers? You really want to care about the transfer. I want to get the oxygen to my tissues where it's going to do me some good.
Right.
Pursed lip breathing. See, now remember, so people just joined us. Would you get a straw or pretend you have a straw?
Yeah.
Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. See how long it takes? Because I'm pushing against that pursed lip thing. So it's an interesting breath. It's shorter on the intake, longer on the exhale.
Right.
And your oxygen levels go up. Get a little meter and you can check it for yourself. Question.
So why in through your nose and out through your mouth? Why not in through your mouth and out through your nose? Why is this
specifically to that? I guess you could shove some straws up your nose.
Without the straws.
No, because you can't. Because there's not enough back pressure.
Okay.
Remember, we're trying to create back pressure?
Yeah, but it doesn't create the back pressure.
I guess you could
pinch
your nose like that and then breathe through the... That would do it, except for it makes my ears pop. Yeah, it's not a very effective strategy.
Yeah,
my ears feel funny. That's a bad idea. I tried it. It doesn't work. Don't do it that way.
Not recommended.
So in through your nose, because it's the nasal passages allow the air to come in. And then you want the back pressure. So you have to push against some sort of pressure. You know, if you're clever and you're listening and thinking, oh, I know another way I could do this. I'll get a paper bag and I'll breathe in through my nose and out through the paper bag and create a little pressure and I'll breathe. Yeah, that would work.
Yeah.
Right? Or whatever. So any kind of thing that you have to create a little resistance to the exhale. Except for paper bag. Who has a paper bag? That's the thing. I just dated myself when I said paper bag.
Would not recommend plastic bags. So.
Yeah, don't do the plastic
don't
bag.
Use a
That's
plastic
really
bag.
Bad. Okay, there was my question. You got a question.
Okay. My question is, oh man, what is one of the easiest ways to lose weight?
Boy, that's a loaded question. Eat less?
Eat less or eat better?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Let's not kid ourselves. Calories have less to do with weight loss than you realize. Most people think, okay, I eat less and exercise more, I'm going to get more slender. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but not for the reasons you think. It's not really a calorie thing.
Yeah.
And you all know this where you're listening, because think about it. Do you know anybody who can eat anything they want and they stay slender?
Teenagers?
Yeah, me. I know a bunch of people, all kinds.
Yeah.
What the heck's going on there? Why is it that they stay slender?
Yeah.
Here's the answer. Hormones. That's what it is. Because your body has the ability to burn calories willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
Brown fat will do it. You can just burn calories and just, you know, sit around burning calories. Now, how come we all don't burn calories just sitting around? Here's the dealio. Because it's run by your hormones.
Right.
If your hormones are not cooperative, you'll gain weight no matter what. I mean, short of outright starvation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are people who eat, you know, on less than 1,000 calories a day, and they are still fat, and they're gaining weight even.
And
I'm
they
not,
work out, and they
I'm
do
not exaggerating.
The
lowest I ever heard is 400. You get 400 calories a day, and you couldn't lose any weight whatsoever. That's, by the way, if you guys don't know about calories, that's
deficient.
What? It's a little, it's like half a meal.
Yeah.
Right? Something like that. Not a day. It's a starvation diet.
Yeah.
For sure. Except for people who are not losing weight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how is that even possible? It's possible because if the hormones don't cooperate, you won't lose weight. The hormones need to cooperate. You need to get your hormones in line.
Mm-hmm.
So some people can eat anything they want and they stay slender. In fact, I have, you and I both know this. We have patients who come see me because they can't gain any weight.
Right.
And now the thing is, how do we get the hormones to turn on so that they can gain weight? And we can.
Yeah.
We have our patient we're thinking of right now, beefed up nicely.
Yep.
So there's, on the other hand, there's people who just try, and they can't lose weight. Now, let me tell you a story, because this, again, these questions relate to the patients that we're seeing.
Yeah,
okay, I have to be careful. I can't say too much
experiences
to identify who this person is. But let me just say, there's an older lady who has been slender her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
And she could just basically eat whatever she wants, and she stays slender and cute, and she's really not have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And in recent years, she's been gaining weight, and she doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's still cute as a bug's ear. I have to be careful. But she gained 10 pounds this last year, and that is not good
for her.
She does not like it.
Doesn't feel
and she
right.
gained weight the year before that and the year before that. But she hit a point in her life where she can't – it's not easy anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes to me and says, Dr. Looper, how do I lose weight? And it's a heartbreaking conversation to have, because what I told her, I said, it's your hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And the food you eat is influencing your hormones and making them turn on. Now, let me be more specific. I won't tell you the whole thing, because it'll take the whole show and another show on top of it. But let me keep you the simple big picture, which is insulin, which is the hormone that our body uses to regulate our blood sugars.
Yep.
What it does is, when our body releases insulin, it lowers the sugar in our blood. The blood sugars come down under the influence of insulin. Isn't that lovely? Except for...
You feel better.
Well, no, you don't necessarily feel better. No, you can feel worser.
Really?
When your blood sugars go up, you feel kind of happy because life is good.
Mm-hmm.
We just ate well and we're going to live another day. Having a high blood sugar is not real high, but, you know, reasonably high blood sugars, it makes for a happy life.
Yeah.
And when they come down, if they come down too steeply,
then
you feel spacey and tired and you feel bad. So insulin can actually make you feel worse. But the thing is, insulin lowers your blood sugars. That's what it does. We all know this. If you ever went to school and learned anything about insulin, you learned that fact.
Yeah, in biology.
Insulin lowers blood sugars.
Yep.
Except they don't ever tell you, where does that blood sugar go?
What happens to it?
It goes into fat.
Right.
Now, some of it goes into muscle a little bit, and some goes into brain cells and other places.
Use some
they
of
do
it.
Various things.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bulk of it goes into fat. Insulin is a storage hormone.
Mm-hmm.
It causes you to take extra sugar because your body identifies this blood sugar as extra.
Yep.
And it takes the extra sugar that's more than you need to run the machinery of your body, and it packs it away for a rainy day.
So you can use it later.
Except it doesn't hardly ever rain.
Yeah.
We live in a society of abundance, and so we gain weight.
Right.
Now, how do we keep the insulin levels from going up? Well, very simple. We just keep the blood sugars from going up.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, not easy.
Yeah.
Simple, not easy. The question is, how do you lose weight? Here's the answer. Don't let your blood sugars go up. Keep your blood sugars even all the time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? Well, there's a lot of ways to do it. Let me give you an extreme example. Keto diet.
Yeah.
Keto diet, it puts you into ketosis. That's what happens when your blood sugars are so low and your brain doesn't like it, so it starts making ketones.
Yep.
A keto diet basically brings your blood sugars down flat zero. It doesn't actually zero because your body's adapting to it. Low, let's call it low, and super even. The most even blood sugars anybody ever has is when they're in ketosis. It makes your blood sugars particularly flat.
Mm-hmm.
So the stimulus to have insulin be released is very, very, very low. And without insulin, you lose weight.
Yeah.
So you could eat all kinds of heavy-duty calories, you know, heavy cream and bacon and super fat foods. Oh, my God, the keto diet should make everybody as big as a whale, make everybody like blimps eating all this fat stuff. No, they lose weight and they keep it off as long as you're on the keto diet.
Right.
As long as you're staying in ketosis because of the hormones.
Mm-hmm.
See? It's the hormones. It's not the calories.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hormones. All right.
So what
short
kind
of a keto
trigger
diet.
Those hormones?
Say that again?
What kind of foods trigger those hormones? Carbs?
Sugar, carbs. Yeah, okay. Think about what will bring your blood sugars up. Sugar.
Yeah.
You eat a lot of sugar, your sugar goes up.
Yep.
That's it. Or stuff that's made out of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of foods you wouldn't necessarily do that was made out of sugar. Bread is made out of sugar. You take sugars and you string them together like beads on a string.
Mm-hmm.
There's a name for that. That's called starch.
Yep.
Starch is made of sugar.
So white potatoes.
Yeah. Anything that's starchy is made of sugar on a molecular level, made of sugar. So the things that cause my blood sugars to go up the most are rice, sticky rice in particular, potatoes. I'm trying to think of the things that shot it up the most. Candy bars.
Noodles?
Hardly ever eat those, by the way, but I did eat some, and my goodness gracious, and my blood sugars did go up. Noodles. Noodles will do it, too. But noodles, I usually always have some sort of sauce with a protein and a plate of vegetables along, and I hardly ever eat noodles anyways because they're just not good for me.
Yeah.
So I don't really know that much about noodles because I didn't really test it. But here's the thing. That look on my face is me thinking to my glucose monitor that I run occasionally because I'm curious.
Yeah.
And so thinking about like what really caused my blood sugars to go skyrocketing high. I try to keep them under 150.
Mm-hmm.
What brought them above 200? That's a big jump.
Yeah.
All the things I mentioned. Potatoes did. Bagels I never tested because I know bagels are like about the worst thing I could ever eat. And what bagels, they're not particularly sweet. I mean, I got the one with like the onion bits and the sesame seeds on it, right? It's not a sweet thing. Yeah, molecularly, it's sweeter than if I eat sugar out of the sugar bowl.
So what would normal people want their blood sugar to be at?
Run it between a 70 and 150. That's a good place to be. That's a normal blood sugar. 150 might even be a little high for some folks. Hovering around 90, 100, I mean, ideally.
Okay.
But you're going to eat stuff. Your blood sugars are going to go up. It's a good enough challenge, particularly people who come see me, people who are sick, people are having problems. A realistic goal for most of them is between 70 and 150. Folks that are really far gone, they're way into diabetes, I'd have to raise that up to 180, but even then, 180 is too high. The problem is your blood sugars go higher, mm-hmm. they start sticking to stuff, and they start messing up your works.
Right.
Your brain, your chance of getting dementia is higher, your chance of getting kidney failure, blindness, mm-hmm. nerve damage, stuff like that all goes up when your blood sugars are really high. Yes. So this is an important question. Not only the weight loss thing, because mm-hmm. the answer to the weight loss is keep your blood sugars even.
Yeah.
But keeping your blood sugars even is good for not only weight loss, but avoiding a bunch of other serious diseases.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So when your blood sugars get too low, obviously you get a blood sugar crash. Like you get tired, you get fatigue, you get those kind of things. But what happens when your blood sugar gets too high?
Not much. You mostly feel
like
good.
Like too high over the 200s.
Let's say your blood sugars went up to 300, 350. Mm-hmm. Most people wouldn't even know.
Really?
Yeah, you wouldn't even know. And I've never seen them in myself, and I have horrible blood sugar control. I've never seen mm-hmm. a 350 ever, not that I ever know of. Mm-hmm. So the thing is, if they get high enough, some people are sensitive to it. What they'll get is thirsty. Because there's too much sugar in your blood, mm-hmm. and it dehydrates you. The osmotic particles are mm-hmm. too high. It changes the osmotic gradient in your body, and you recognize that as thirst.
Right.
Let's say you hadn't drank water all day,
yeah.
and you had evaporated it out and peed it out and whatever, and now there's more stuff dissolved in your blood, and there's less water there.
Mm-hmm.
So you feel thirsty. Mm-hmm. Bingo. That's what's happening.
Yep.
The sugar is stuff, and so you'll feel thirsty. Not only the other thing that'll happen is your body doesn't like all that sugar, and so what'll happen is the kidneys will start dumping it.
Right.
And what you'll do is you'll spill sugar into your urine. Mm-hmm. Back in the Middle Ages, they could find people with this problem because the doctors would drink the urine.
Oh.
And it would taste sweet.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we don't do that anymore.
No. Yeah, we know better. We have better ways.
Back in the day, though, what can you do? You had to use what tools you had. There was no glucometer, so right. you just had to taste people's urine. Blah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm a doctor now.
Yeah.
But seriously, that's what'll happen. Those kind of things. And if it gets real, real, real high, it could wreck you because your body needs to have an osmotic gradient. I mean, it could kill you if the blood sugars get too high. But most of the time, people who have to go to the hospital for their blood sugars, it's not the highs.
It's the lows.
It's the lows. It's the lows throw you into a coma, give you seizures, that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Hey, we got to take a break. Let's do a brief break. Right now, we'll be back with more health talk here in a moment.
Perfect.
Don't give up. Good health is possible. We'll be back with more health talk.
When your guts go bad, your life goes bad. Whether it's diarrhea, constipation, heartburn, or cramping, any of them can take the joy out of life. I'm Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director at White Spruce Medical. Our team fixes GI problems at the root.
White Spruce Medical, located in the Steese Medical Center in Fairbanks. We bill insurance.
White Spruce Medical, it's time to get your life.
When you have an opinion.
In my opinion.
Do you have a new opinion or do you have the same opinion you had before?
A question.
Let me start with question number one.
Here's my question.
Whether you agree.
My compliments to your guest on their accuracy of the statements they've made.
Or disagree.
Oh yeah, you guys think you know.
You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about.
This is your source for news.
This is rocket science and things do happen on this stuff.
And conversation.
It's real and it's fantastic.
From the supermarket to the stock market, follow the business news you can use daily on News Talk 660 KFAR.
Now, more health talk on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Scott Looper.
So welcome back to Health Talk. I'm here with Haley Brown, and we're going through questions, common questions that we've heard recently from patients.
Yeah.
So I think I
think it's your turn.
I think I killed the question about the weight loss thing. Let's flip it over to you.
It was a good question. It was a good, we got some answers out of it.
Good. I'm giving you another one. We got time for like one, maybe two questions. Why don't you do another one?
I've heard patients ask me before, how can CBD be helpful for me and my pain, or how can I use CBD to be helpful for me in general?
I hear this question a lot too.
Yeah.
And it turns out that CBD, which is a component of marijuana,
mm-hmm.
Is extremely helpful for pain reduction. Really, as far as I could tell right now, it is our best pain medication. Notice what I said, the best.
Right.
It works the best and has the fewest side effects. It's not the strongest. It's not the strongest pain medication. Narcotics are stronger.
Right.
But narcotics also are very, very addictive and are ruining lives thick and fast. Mm-hmm. And we're in a crisis of narcotics right now in our nation. And it is wrecking lives and killing people every day. Now, CBD does not do that.
No, you can't overdose on CBD.
Well, no, I've never seen it. Maybe you can overdose on anything,
yeah.
I guess, but I've never seen people overdose on CBD. And the interesting thing is the dosage varies very, very much. I have patients that will do 10 milligrams of CBD, mm-hmm. and that's all they need. I have patients that will do 300 milligrams of CBD three times a day, and mm-hmm. that's what works best for them.
Right.
And you know what? It turns out to be totally fine. There's no side effects. Nobody gets stoned. Nobody gets weird. Nobody mm-hmm. gets their blood thinned or, you know, growing, you know, hair in inappropriate places. None of that. Zero. None of those things happen with CBD. What happens is their pain goes down.
Yeah.
So I've told this story before, but I'm going to tell it again because I'm sure there's a lot of listeners haven't heard it. Some years ago when marijuana was illegal, I had a 80-year-old patient who had fallen down the stairs and broken her back.
Oh.
And she was put on narcotics and she was stoned and she was miserable and she could feel her life blood, her life energy ebbing away.
Yeah,
she
was a blob.
And this was, it was really a bad situation. So she called me. She was actually in Oregon at the time. She called me and said, "Dr. Looper, I fell down the stairs, I broke my back, I'm on narcotics, I feel horrible. Isn't there some alternative to it?" And the answer was, yeah, I knew of one, and that was CBD.
Yeah.
So I hooked her up with a source of CBD, because you could actually get it. In Oregon, it was still illegal at that time, but anyways, it isn't illegal anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be careful who I tell this story to. Anyways, she got the CBD, got off the narcotics, mm-hmm. and was fine, and lived for, I don't know, another 15 years. I mean, really, it was fabulous. She did not die. Normally, when you're that old and you break a bone that's as serious as your back, then it really, really takes the energy out of you. And you kind of, you go like a little candle flame and you kind of, woo,
some,
and you wick away and
life.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're going to be alive for another, you know, 2-3 months and that's it.
Yeah.
And that did not happen with her. Really, as far as I could tell, realistically, by getting her off the narcotics, is we saved her life, is what we did. So I've had lots of patients have some extremely severe pain from things like cancer. I treat a fair amount of cancer. I've had patients with pancreatic cancer that was just horrid, horrid pain. And what I had them to do is the CBD, and it worked better than the narcotics in that particular kind of pain. It was better than the narcotics and with fewer side effects. So CBD is lovely that way. It's particularly good with pain. It's also helpful for other things. It's helpful. The research is not as quite as good. My experience is not as quite as thick as doing pain, but it's helpful with seizures.
Mm-hmm.
I have some patients. I have a little boy right now who's doing CBD, and it's helping him with the seizures really quite a bit. He hadn't had seizures in months doing CBD.
Yeah.
I've had patients basically to kind of stabilize their mood and just kind of get feeling better.
Mm-hmm.
Manic depression tends to be better with CBD.
Better sleep, better overall.
Yeah, and depression just generally tends to be better when people do CBD. Now, the interesting thing is, I want to make clear about this, is you don't get stoned. You get relaxed.
Yeah.
It's relaxing.
You get calm.
You feel relaxed, but you don't feel intoxicated. You don't feel weird.
Mm-hmm.
You don't feel particularly, you know, out of your body. You feel like fine. You could just do your normal life, go shopping and, you know, balance your checkbook, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's fine on CBD.
Yeah.
It doesn't really get in the way of anything that you're doing. And how it's working is it's affecting natural receptors that we have on our cells that are CBD receptors.
Mm-hmm.
They mimic the chemicals that are naturally occurring in our body.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another interesting factoid, which is you think, okay, of all the plants in the world, how come only marijuana has this? Well, that's not the case.
That's not true. There's
there are other plants that have this
that.
As well.
Yeah.
There's one that comes to mind right now is kava kava.
Mm-hmm.
Kava kava also has CBD-like molecules in it. It doesn't work as well as cannabis. But it still has an effect. It's a relaxing effect, and that's what it's used for. It's used to relax people.
Yeah.
Interesting thing about kava kava is if you do a whole lot of kava kava, you get stoned.
Wow.
Not that I ever have, but I'm just read it in a book.
Yeah.
So there it is. Yeah. Interesting.
Interesting.
Useful. And again, what we're looking at here is in nature, there are a lot of overlap in the chemicals that we make, other animals too, and what plants make.
Right.
And sometimes the things that plants make are nearly close enough, not identical, but close enough to what we make that we'll get a physiologic response from that.
Right.
Let me give you an example. Caffeine. The plants don't make caffeine to get people zippy. That is not the purpose of the caffeine.
Right.
The caffeine is used as an insecticide. Mm-hmm. The plants don't want to be eaten by the bugs. If they make caffeine, it poisons the bugs, and so the bugs don't eat that poison plant. Mm-hmm. Well, it turns out that poison, which is for the bugs but not for us, mimics alertness chemicals that we have, catecholamines. Mm-hmm. And so we feel more alert. The size and shape of the caffeine just happens randomly, I guess, to be the same size and shape of the chemicals we use for alertness. Mm-hmm. And so we do caffeine and boop, now we feel more alert.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the same thing with the CBD. Same thing. It just happens to random chance to fit this receptor system that we have that regulates our cellular function, particularly around pain, and we feel more relaxed.
Okay.
Well, that makes sense. Do we have time for another question? No, we're out of time. Haley, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
It makes it much more interesting to have the questions come from you, even though I did do one.
Yeah, we're good.
I want to have everybody stay tuned for Craig Campos Outdoor Show. I want to let you know that this has been Health Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Scott Looper, Medical Director of White Spruce Medical, located at the Steese Medical Center here in Fairbanks. I am with Haley Brown, who is the clinic director.
Yes.
A lovely job you're doing of that.
Thank you.
We're here to help you with a wide variety of diseases and things, so you can always come see us if you want. Just give us a call. Anyway, stay safe. Stay healthy.
Have a good one.
Stay in touch.
You've been listening to Health Talk on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by White Spruce Medical in the Steese Medical Center. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to KFARradio.com and go to the archives page for more Health Talk. Local stories, local programs, local news, local talk radio. We are KFAR.